Well, I've got to tell you, God is enough to take care of whatever problem and whatever situation that you're facing in your life. In fact, over the next 5 weeks, we're going to begin a journey through the 23rd Psalm, and we're talking about God is enough. What is your need? Some of us today have come with emotional needs. Some of us have come with physical needs. Others of us with spiritual needs. Regardless of our needs, God is big enough to handle our needs. And today we want to begin our journey in the 23rd Psalm by talking about how God is able to meet our needs. Let me invite you to grab those notes in your worship folder. You can follow along with where we're going today, because we're looking at one of the most loved and most well-known scriptures in the Bible. It's the 23rd Psalm. And I love the 23rd Psalm because it is written from the perspective of an animal. And it's a very creative passage. In fact, it's the only passage in the Bible, at least the one that I can think of, that is written from the perspective of an animal. But in doing so, it communicates a powerful truth about how God takes care of our needs. Several years ago, Gina and I were over at Barnes & Noble's. We were drinking some cappuccino and some coffee one afternoon, and Gina said, "Ryan, look over there." And she said, "You're just not going to believe this." And I looked up, and I saw a man with dark glasses on, with a German Shepherd, beautiful, big German Shepherd dog with a handle. And it was obviously the man was blind. And the interesting thing was not that he was blind, it was that he had a seeing eye dog, and he had his dark shades on. But he was looking through the spines of the names of the book at Barnes & Noble. I mean, he started at the top shelf, and he was looking very meticulously through each one of the titles. And then he began to look at the second row, and then the third row. And then I saw him dragging the dog throughout the store. And this was just so interesting to me. I began to watch, and I said, "Gina, how is it that this guy that is obviously blind and he has a beautiful dog who is able and trained and smart and able to direct him, he's dragging the dog around the store?" And so we watched for a few minutes, and sure enough, the blind man was leading the dog. So I told Gina, as they were headed out of the store, I wanted to follow him to the parking lot to see who drove to Barnes & Noble that day. I wanted to check that out. You know, the seeing eye dog's job is to lead and protect, just like a shepherd. The role of the shepherd is to protect and to lead. And God is the divine shepherd. And spiritually speaking, because God is our shepherd, we are the sheep of his pasture, the Bible says. And the problem many times is that we get ahead of the shepherd. And when it comes to taking care of our needs, many times we think that we see our needs better than God does. And so we get ahead of God. And today we're going to talk about how God meets our needs and how we can get on page with the shepherd, the one that is the leader, the guide, the divine shepherd, God himself. And so we've got to unpack this 23rd Psalm. I'll tell you what, I want us just to stand together at this time, and I'm going to read the 23rd Psalm to us. Let's just do so because we want to reverence God's word today. And I'm going to read out of the New Living Translation, but let's just read this whole passage. "The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. And even when I walk through the dark valley of death, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You welcome me as a guest, anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever." Amen. You can be seated. This passage was written in the twilight years of King David. The king was a great author, a great songwriter, a great musician. And he sat on the throne of Israel, and one day he began to think about how God had been his shepherd. Now, interestingly enough, David did not grow up in the royal courts. He was anointed a king much later in life. The Bible tells us he was about 30 years old when he first sat on the throne of Israel. But before that, he learned a lot about the Lord and about following the shepherd as a shepherd boy out on the eastern plains of the biblical world. David had humble beginnings, and he learned so much about God as he watched the sheep of the pasture because he was a shepherd boy. And he began to see the parallels between shepherding the flock and following the divine shepherd, God the Father. And therefore, he wrote these powerful words that we're talking about today. It's written from the perspective of a sheep, not from a person. And the scripture gives us four insights today that I want us to download. And we're going to look at this just word by word through verse 1 today. The first thing we see is when God is my leader, the question is, how does God meet my needs? How does God meet my needs? If you want God to really be able to meet your needs, you got to follow him. You got to get on the same page. You got to join the flock. You got to get on God's team. You got to move God's direction. When we get ahead of God and we begin to try and tell God what to do rather than following the dictates and leadership that he has put over us, that's when we get into trouble. And God wants to be the superior leader of our lives. That's why the scripture says, "The Lord is my shepherd." You know, that word Lord is an interesting word. And if you notice there on your outline, it's in all caps. You see that? Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. And 6,000 times in the Bible, this word Lord is used. Now, God has a number of names. And it's translated in English, Lord, in different contexts, different passages. But in this particular instance, and in other parts of the Bible, the all caps tells us it's the sacred name of God, Yahweh. And that's a different name of God than that's used in other passages. But let me tell you what Yahweh means. Yahweh is the personal and powerful name of God. It's the name of God that is used in the Old Testament when God was about to do something awesome. I mean, it was when the power of God was about to show up in a huge, massive way. In fact, in Exodus chapter 3, Moses is there before the Lord, and he sees a burning bush. The Bible says it burned, but it was not consumed. And it was Yahweh that spoke to Moses that day to go and to liberate the people out of Egyptian captivity. A few chapters later, it's Yahweh that shows up, that brings the 10 plagues on Pharaoh, because he will not let the Jews leave Egyptian captivity. And he refuses to follow Moses' instruction, and God sends the plagues on Egypt, and they're punished accordingly. It was Yahweh. It was the power of God. And then all of a sudden, when Pharaoh has a change of heart, and the people begin to leave, they're there before the Red Sea. And Pharaoh changes his mind and sends his army out to destroy the Jewish people. And it was Yahweh that parted the Red Sea that allowed the Jews to walk across and then allows it to close up to destroy the armies of Egypt. Man, when the name Yahweh is used, that means the power of God. The power of God. And you know what? The name Yahweh is so sacred that even among Orthodox Jews, they will not even say the word Yahweh verbally. They will write it, but they have such a reverence and such an awe and such a respect for this particular word and what it means and the connotations that it carries that they will not even speak it. But I tell you what, when we see those words, the L-O-R-D in all caps, that means it is Yahweh. It is the power of God. And I want to tell you something. It's that same God that's going to meet your needs. Somebody's here today is thinking, man, I'm unemployed. I have needs. I need God to provide me a job. Somebody else is wondering, can my marriage make it another year? You need God. You have needs. Some of us have spiritual needs. You need to know that you're loved and accepted by God. It is Yahweh. It is the Lord, L-O-R-D, all caps, that we need to understand today that is able to meet our needs because he is a powerful God. The question is, who's your daddy? Who's your spiritual father? When God is our spiritual father, when he becomes our shepherd, if you will, then we join the team of God, and And God begins to provide for us and to lead us and to direct us. The question is, who do we go to first in a crisis? You know, a lot of times it's not the Lord. We go into a crisis, what's the first thing we do? We call other people. We rely on addictive behaviors. We do things that are foolish. We say things. We feel things. Sometimes we don't know what to do. But when the Lord is our shepherd, we turn to Him first. And we begin to see Him as the provider and the instigator and the leader of our lives. I mean, that's what God wants you to understand today. And if you want God to really begin to meet your needs, you got to begin to see Him as the boss of your life. He's the shepherd. And when the shepherd speaks, we follow and obey. He manages the needs of billions of people at the same time. He's the one that keeps the planet rotating. He's the one that created the galaxies of the universe. He is an amazing God. And you know what? That didn't stress God out at all. And I promise you, if God can create the universe and He can create the stars and the planets and the galaxies and the people and the planet and all that other stuff, that whatever you're facing today is not too big for Him. Because He is Yahweh. He is the Lord. You know, the psalmist goes on and he says, "The Lord is." The Lord is. In fact, let's just say that out loud together. The Lord is. All right? The Lord is. That's the second part of this scripture, Psalm 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd. See, God wants us to live in the present. God wants us to live in the present. Not in the past and not in the future. Now notice, the scripture doesn't say, "The Lord was my shepherd." Past tense. The Bible doesn't say, "The Lord will be my shepherd." The Bible says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Because you know what? Today, God is a today God. He's a God of today. God cares about the present. Sometimes we're so confused by the future, and sometimes we can't let go of the past, and so we forget to live in the present where the Lord is. Where the Lord is. God is concerned about the now. And He shepherds us one day at a time. Have you ever noticed that? We get ahead of God, don't we? We worry about the future so much. God says He'll meet our needs today. We need to think about what God wants us to do this hour, this day, this time. Not the future, not the past, but the now. And what does God want me to do today? He's the God of the now. And one of the greatest spiritual journeys that I've been on has been leading our new church start here at the Edge Church. Many of you are new to our church. You may not know this, but just a few weeks ago, we celebrated our one-year anniversary. And we've been having services here at the school for about a year. Gina and I moved to the city of Aurora about 2 years ago. And we didn't know one person in the whole city of Aurora. We didn't know one person. We had very limited financial resources at our fingertips, and we sure didn't have a place to have church. And if we would have, it wouldn't have mattered because we didn't have anybody to come to church. And we started with meeting our neighbors and in our community, and we formed a Bible study that grew and grew and grew and has led us to this point where we are today. I got to tell you something. God has been faithful. God has taken care of every one of our needs right when we needed them to be taken care of. And usually not early, but always on time. The Lord is. And I'll tell you what, the future of the Edge Church is bright. God has a great plan for our church because we just walk with Him each day. And every need that we have, we just look to Him. We trust Him. And every day, God is showing Himself faithful and strong and the shepherd that is leading and directing our church. And I know He'll do the same in your life. When you begin to say, "The Lord is." Now, sometimes we get focused on the future. And that future will cause us to worry. We worry more about the future, don't we? What if this happens? What if that happens? And we worry about a whole lot of stuff that usually doesn't even happen. You know, it's kind of like when you get into an accident, what's the first thing that you think about? You think about your insurance policy, don't you? You think about, what's my deductible? You know, how much coverage do I have, right? That's the first question when you get into an accident. Am I okay, and what kind of coverage do I have? And I want to tell you something. In the Christian life, you have amazing coverage from God. It's the 7,000 promises in the Scripture. God has given us so many promises in the Bible. That's our coverage. That's what we need to know today. Let me remind us today of several of these promises from God. Romans 8, 1 through 2 says, I am fully forgiven and free from all shame and condemnation. You don't let anybody tell you any different. There is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus, the Bible says. I have no fear or anxiety. I trust in the Lord with all my heart, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says. And you don't have to live a life dominated by fears and phobias and anxieties. Man, trust in the Lord. I'm able to fulfill the calling God has placed on my life, Colossians 1, 24 to 29. God has a plan for your life, and it's bigger than you think it is. And when we begin to follow the leadership of the shepherd, and we begin to say, the Lord is, and God begins to show that to us accordingly. I'm fully resourced to do everything God has called me to do, Philippians 4, 13. Did you know God would never call you to do something and then not give you the resources to accomplish the goal that he had originally called you to? Some of us right now are in the middle of a calling from God, and you're in a crisis. And you're wondering, man, God called me to this, but I don't see it coming together. You remember Philippians 4:13. And then I have the wisdom of the Lord concerning every decision that I make, James 1:5. Bible says if you don't have wisdom, ask of God, and he'll give it to you liberally. God wants you to have wisdom. The Bible is full of promises, and they remind us that the Lord is. So I don't know what you're facing today, but remember this, the Lord is your shepherd. And then for some people, it's not the future. It's not worrying about what might happen. It's all the junk in the past. It's learning to let go of the baggage and the hardship and the pain and the difficulties that are behind us. That's the problem. And for you to begin to focus on the Lord is, you got to get rid of what happened in the past and what was. You're acting like a practical atheist. And sometimes we as Christians brag about how much faith we have in God, but we have so much fear and so much anxiety in our lives that really we don't live a life any different from people that have no faith. And we need to be reminded today that when we begin to follow the shepherd, that we live by faith. We live by confidence in him. So it's time to put the junk of the past behind us. And for some of us, it may be that the Lord used to be my shepherd. Maybe you used to walk with God. Maybe you used to follow the Lord. And God didn't leave you, but maybe you left him. And the Lord's saying to you today, it's time to get back on the path. It's time to get back in the direction of the shepherd. And to forget about the past and put that behind us and move forward to the future because the Lord is. You know, the past is a funny thing. We live with a lot of regret. I should have tried out for American Idol. You ever felt that way before? I love to talk with guys about sports. And, you know, from time to time I talk to a guy and he'll say something like, man, I got a contusion on my leg playing football in the ninth grade. And, man, if that injury wouldn't have happened, then I know that I would have played Division I football. I'm like, I bet you would have. Probably NFL, right? Those contusions are nasty, aren't they? We live with a lot of regret. We look over our shoulder, we feel bad. We feel that sense of loss. Man, here's the beautiful thing about the gospel message. God forgives all of the stuff behind us. And when we realize that God has forgiven the stuff behind us, it gives us the power and the strength to move forward in the present. The Lord is our shepherd. And we can't change the past, but we can take the present and seize that opportunity in a powerful way. And God wants to do something in your life today, guys. Today. Not tomorrow. Not yesterday. Today. God has something fresh. God has something new for you today because the Lord is. And the Lord is my. Let's just say that together. The Lord is my. The Lord is my. Doesn't that feel good today? Because not only is the Lord is, but the Bible says the Lord is my. He's a personal God. He's a personal shepherd. When I have a personal relationship with the shepherd, that's what we have to understand. How does God provide for my needs? When I have a personal relationship with the shepherd, my shepherd. Now, he's not just a shepherd, okay? And he's not just the shepherd, although he is the shepherd. But he is my shepherd. He's a personal God. The Lord is the shepherd, and he's not just his shepherd or her shepherd. Have you ever been around people before and you're like, man, I wish God would do some things in my life like they do in her life? God's always doing really awesome stuff in their life, but I don't ever see God doing stuff in my life like that. And we almost just set the expectations that there's like super mega saints, there's like these kind of people, and God's always doing crazy stuff in their life, but we look at our life and we think, man, this is just kind of, you know, mundane, boring, same old, whatever. The Bible says the Lord's not just her shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd. God wants to do something amazing in your life, and he's a personal God. And listen, he knows your personal pain. He knows your personal struggle. He knows your personal difficulties. And while God is unchanging and God is always consistent, thank goodness, the way that God relates to us and the way that we know God is always it's always customized. It's unique. Your testimony, your journey of faith, your story, your background, that's something that's unique. How you understand God, how you've related to him, how you've walked with God through certain situations and scenarios in your life, that's unique. And listen, the power of that is that God is not just a generic God, he's a personal God, and you can know him. And that's why he's such an incredible God. In fact, 17 times in these six verses, the word I or my or me is used. It's an intensely personal psalm. The word you, talking about God, is used 5 times, or he or his is used about 7 to 10 times. The psalm is about our relationship with God. So let me ask you this, who's your shepherd? Is it your boss? Is it your friend? Is it your spouse? Is it Oprah? The shepherd is the one we look to for leadership and guidance, and the Lord is my shepherd. He's a personal God. And we live in a world of customizations. We have custom golf clubs and customized cars and customized web browsers and customized computers. Everywhere we look, it's all customized. And we go to Starbucks, and we have customized drinks. In fact, when I want to score points with my wife, I'll sneak over to Starbucks, and I will get her the very special, personalized drink that Gina loves. I have to write this down. It's so complicated. She loves the Grande Caramel Macchiato stirred with 1 Splenda, low-fat, extra hot. See, I have to put that in my phone, and I have to bring it up, you know, when I go over there. Guys, by the way, if you want to score some points with your wife, get her favorite drink. She'll like that. You know why Gina loves that? Because it's personal. That's what she likes. I could bring her what I like to drink. I have a totally different drink, and it's a lot simpler than that. But that's not personal. That doesn't have that personal touch to it. I mean, it's powerful when somebody knows exactly what you like and exactly what you need, and they're dialed in on that, and they bring that to you. I mean, that's an awesome thing because it says, I know who you are. I know what you like. And I got to tell you something today. That's the kind of God that we serve. Whatever pain, whatever struggle, whatever difficulties, whatever questions, you're not telling God anything that he doesn't know today because he is a personal God and he knows it all anyway. So the Lord is my. The Lord is my. And then you got to love this last word. The Lord is my shepherd, right? Let's say that. The Lord is my shepherd. Yeah, shepherd. You see, when I accept his care, is the fourth thing. And the care of the shepherd is powerful. In fact, the word Lord tells us that God is powerful, but the word shepherd means he is tender. And see, if you begin to understand God is only Yahweh, the power God, and you understand that without understanding the context of the fact that God is a loving shepherd that's tender and compassionate, your perception of God will be distorted. He is both. God's like having Superman as your babysitter. He's strong and powerful. Nobody can mess with him. But he's also tender and compassionate. And all that rolled into one makes up the greatness of our God. That's why the Lord is our shepherd. So he's both Lord and he's both shepherd. He's strong and he is tender and he is compassionate and he is mighty. Now, what do shepherds do? You got to love John 10, 11 through 13. The Bible speaks of the role of the shepherd. Jesus said this, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. A hired hand will run away when he sees a wolf coming. He will leave the sheep because they aren't his, and he isn't their shepherd. And then so the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock. The hired hand runs away because he's merely a hired hand and has no real concern for the sheep." How many of you have owned your own company? Or you've had people that have worked for you, employees? I thought about this passage in a new light this week. When people work for you and you're the owner and you're the leader, people don't have the same commitment that you do. And it's interesting because the Bible speaks of this, that these hired hands, when they see a wolf coming, they're like, "I'm only making $7.90 an hour. I'm out of here." But when you're the shepherd, I mean, and those sheep belong to you, you're going to get out there and fight. You know, you're going to be conking those wolves on the head. You're going into battle because they belong to you. And it may be easy for that little hired, you know, intern, that little staff guy to turn tail and run. But at the end of the day, it's on you because that belongs to you. And that's how the chief shepherd sees you and me. He says, "Man, those are my sheep. Don't mess with my sheep. They're not just somebody else's sheep. They belong to me. They're my sheep. I'm the shepherd." And there's a big difference between the hired hand and the shepherd. And the hired hand is not going to put their neck on the line, but the shepherd will, because the sheep ultimately belong to him. And that's a picture of our God. John 10, 27 says there's at least two ways to know that the Lord is your shepherd. One is, "My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and then they follow me." Sometimes people say, "Well, how do I know if the Lord is my shepherd? Do you hear his voice?" God's never spoken to me in an audible voice, but God speaks to me often through the Scripture and through the power of his Spirit. And when you're God's sheep, God wants to direct you. God wants to speak to you. Maybe you're not listening. Sometimes it's not that God's not speaking. Sometimes we're not paying attention. We're not listening to what he's saying. But the sheep hear the voice of the shepherd. They say in the ancient world that if multiple shepherds get their flocks together and they combine them for protection for a good night's rest, and then the following day they get up and each shepherd begins to speak to his flock, those individual sheep know the voice of the shepherd and they will not be confused. They will go to the exact voice of the shepherd that calls their name. Is that not incredible? There's no confusion. Sheep recognize the voice of the shepherd. And Christians recognize the voice of the good shepherd, God the Father. And then number two, do you follow? The Scripture says, "My sheep listen to my voice, and then I know them, and then they follow me." And when we begin to follow the shepherd, then we know that we're part of his sheep. We want to do what God says. We want to follow God's commands. We want to follow God's teachings. We want to do what God's saying to us. We want to learn. We want to grow. We want to develop. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, shepherds help sheep. And notice this interesting passage from Ezekiel. "You eat the best food and you wear the finest clothes, but you let your flock starve. You haven't taken care of the weak, nor tended to the sick, nor bound up the broken bones, nor gone looking for those who have wandered away and are lost. Instead, you have ruled them with force and cruelty. So they were scattered without a shepherd, and they have become prey to every animal that comes along the way. My sheep wandered through the mountains and hills and over the face of the earth, and there was no one to search for them and to care about them." Here, this text in Ezekiel just gives us It's a metaphor, it's an image, but it tells us the role of the shepherd. And the role of the shepherd is several key things that the shepherd does, but sheep are interesting animals, and we don't really understand that today in the modern world because we're not around livestock all the time. But in the biblical world, a shepherd would do several things to take care of the sheep. Number one is he would clean the sheep. The shepherd would clean the sheep. Sheep are not like cats. They don't lick themselves. They are high-maintenance animals. They have to be cleaned. They have to be taken care of. And you see this picture of Shrek here. This interesting sheep wandered away from the flock for 6 years. And he wandered all over the New Zealand countryside until 6 years later he was found. But when they found him, they noticed that he had 60 and a half pounds of wool all over his body. Isn't that amazing? He had not been cleaned. He had not been maintained or taken care of. I'm telling you, that's an afro that makes Lenny Kravitz look pretty mild, doesn't it? That's amazing. We need to be cleaned by the shepherd. The Bible says the blood of Christ is the thing that cleanses us. And then shepherds protect. If you think about it, sheep are not fast. They don't have keen eyesight. They're not smart. They don't have big claws or big nasty fangs. They're sheep. They're defenseless. And if the shepherd is not there to protect them, they are in trouble. And Shrek was pretty lucky to be alive that long. I'll tell you what, probably the smell and the odor of the wool, huh? But shepherds protect. They provide. They provide. They have to have food brought to them. You know, they say that sheep can't even go out and find their own meal unless it's just right there in front of them. And so oftentimes shepherds have to go get, they have to go get the grass and put it right in front of the sheep, or they have to take the sheep right in front of the grass. Sheep are not hunters. They don't go around finding food. They have to have somebody to take care of them. And then they need guidance. Shepherds lead the sheep when they're confused and don't know which way to go. They say that sheep will literally wander off of a cliff if the shepherd is not there to correct them. They don't have good sense. They don't have good judgment. They don't have intuition. They're not savvy. They are completely dependent on the shepherd to direct them and lead them. Now, God is the shepherd, and we are his sheep. And sometimes we have the Shrek syndrome where we run off from God, but God wants us to bring us back to following him and getting back on his path. And maybe today you've never even joined the fold. You never even become a follower of Jesus Christ. Maybe today you want to commit your life to him and say yes to the Lord and invite him into your heart and join God's family and God's team. Listen, there is nothing more exciting today than following the leadership of the shepherd. We're going to talk more about that over the next few weeks, but I just want to lead us in a prayer today because I know there's some of us here today that need to get on track with the shepherd. Maybe you're looking at your life and you're saying, you know, I'm not a sheep. I'm like that man in Barnes & Noble that's dragging his dog around. I'm trying to tell God what to do. I'm trying to lead my own life, and yet I look around me and I see the mess that I've made, and I need God, and I need the Lord. Let's just bow for a word of prayer today, and if you'd like to invite Christ to come into your heart to be your leader and your Lord, maybe you'd like to join the fold of God today, I'd like to just lead you in a prayer of commitment, and in this prayer, I want you just to repeat after me as you feel led today. Just say, Lord, I know that I have sin in my life. I pray you would forgive my own sins and that you would make me a brand new person. I'm putting my faith in Christ and what he did at the resurrection for the forgiveness of my sins. And now, Lord, help me to walk with you each day in Jesus' name. Amen.